We have two brothers giving a five-minute devotion or five-minute introduction, and then a third one, Pastor Kende, is going to share a message with us. The first one is Dulo Attila, Pastor Attila. He's from Paks. He'll speak in Hungarian and be translated by Alex, one of our students here. The second one is Pastor Juze, who is a pastor in Dunaujváros, and that'll be translated also. These are real men of God that have a message from the Holy Spirit to our hearts. So welcome, Pastor Attila.
Szervusztok! Hi, everyone.
Good evening.
Csak nagy tisztesség itt állni előttetek.
It's a great honor to be standing here in front of you.
Mi, akik ebben a szolgálatban nőttünk fel.
Us who grew up in this ministry.
Baltimore-ra mindig úgy néztünk, hogy wow, Baltimore.
We always looked up to Baltimore with amazement.
És ez most egy nagy tisztesség, hogy itt állhatok előttetek.
And it's a great honor that I can be standing here in front of you.
Jelenések 2.
Revelations 2.
Itt Jézus beszél az efézusi gyülekezethez.
Jesus here is talking to the church in Ephesus.
És a negyedik versben ezt mondja.
And in verse 4 it says,
de az a panaszom ellened, hogy az első szeretetet elhagytad.
Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love.
Drága Urunk,
dear Lord,
csak kérünk téged, hogy kent fel ezeket a gondolatokat.
We ask you to anoint these thoughts.
Szólj a szívünkhez.
Speak to our hearts.
Te drága nevedben.
In your precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Itt előtte megdicséri Jézus az efézusi gyülekezetet.
Earlier in this chapter, Jesus commands the church of Ephesus
a kitartásukért, azért, hogy őrizték a tant, hogy szorgalmasak voltak.
That they kept the doctrine, that they were diligent.
És aztán a végén azt mondja,
and then he goes on to
hogy azért van egy panaszom ellened.
Nevertheless, I have this against you.
Az a panaszom, hogy elhagytad az első szeretetet.
That you have left your first love.
És ez annyira fontos, hogy ezt értsük.
And it's so significant for us to understand this. The first love.
Hogy ragaszkodjunk az első szeretethez.
That we would hold on to our first love.
Mert ahogy ezt Pál apostol írja 1 Korintus 13 első 3 versében.
Because as the apostle Paul says in the first 3 verses of 1 Corinthians 13.
Szeretet nélkül semmik vagyunk.
We are nothing without love.
Mi is beleeshetünk ebbe a hibába.
We can make this mistake.
És erről volt szó a pásztor elvonuláson is.
And we've talked about this at the pastor's retreat.
Hogy mi pásztorok is beleeshetünk ebbe a hibába.
That we as pastors can make this mistake.
Hogy ügyködünk, megyünk előre,
of being busy,
tesszük a dolgunkat, prédikálunk,
our business, preaching,
és aztán mindezt szeretet nélkül.
And we do all of these things without love.
Szeretettől. Elhagyjuk
we
az első
step
szeretetet.
Away from love, we leave our first
amit ugye tudunk 1 János 4-ben,
what we read about in 1 John 4,
9-10. Versben, hogy nem az a szeretet, hogy mi szerettünk, hanem az, hogy ő
szeretett. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us.
Úgyhogy fontos.
It's so important.
Hogy ott maradjunk a szeretetben.
That we would stay in
fontos,
love, abide in
megragadjuk
love.
Ezt a szeretetet.
That we would grasp this love.
Megérkeztünk lassan egy hete ide.
It's been almost a week since we arrived here.
És csak ezt tapasztaltuk.
And this is what we have experienced.
Hogy ti nem hagytátok el az első szeretetet.
Very profoundly that you haven't left your first
olyan
love.
Hihetetlen szeretetben volt részünk.
We have experienced such an amazing love.
Megosztottátok az otthonotokat.
You shared your homes with us.
Fuvaroztatok minket.
You gave us rides.
Etettetek.
You fed us.
És millió módon kimutattátok a szeretetetet.
And you expressed your love in a million ways.
És annyira csodálatos ezzel találkozni.
And it's so amazing to encounter this.
Krisztus szeretetével.
The love of Christ.
Az első szeretettel.
The first love.
Hogy nem elhagyni az első szeretetet.
Rather than leaving the first love,
ragaszkodni hozzá,
we cling
megragadni,
to it, we grasp
elfogadni,
it, we receive it,
és aztán abban élni,
and then we live in it,
és utána kiárasztani másokra,
and then we express it to others,
és így élni,
and living this
mert
way.
A szeretet a legesleges, legnagyobb hatalom.
Because
a legnagyobb
love
hatalom.
Is the greatest power.
Mert csak a szeretet fedezel minden vétket.
Because love covers all sins.
Mert csak a szeretet űzi ki a félelmet.
Love is the only thing that casts out
fear. Mert csak a
fear.
Szeretet nem tesz rosszat a fele barátnak.
Love is the only thing that doesn't harm
his neighbor. Abiding in love,
in the love of God.
És aztán ezzel a szeretettel szeretni.
And then loving with this
love. És ez annyira hámulatos, annyira csodálatos.
It's so amazing, so marvelous.
Tudjátok?
You know.
Amikor így kimutattátok felénk a szeretetet,
when you, as you express your love for us,
akkor tulajdonképpen a pásztorotok felé mutattátok ki a szeretetet.
You actually were expressing your love for your pastor.
Mert mi valamennyien az ő szolgálatának gyümölcsei vagyunk.
Because all of us are the fruits of his ministry.
És amikor kimutatjátok a pásztorotok felé a szereteteteket,
and as you express your love for your pastor,
akkor tulajdonképpen Krisztus felé mutatjátok ki a szereteteteket.
You are actually expressing your love for Christ.
Mert pásztorotok Krisztussal jár.
Because your pastor is walking with Christ.
És megmaradni az első szeretetben.
And abiding in
ebben
first
járni,
love. And walking in it, living in it.
Ezzel szolgálni.
Ministering with it.
Úgyhogy csak köszönjük nektek.
We just thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Good evening.
Dunajvárosból jöttem.
I came from Dunajváros.
Ez a kommunizmus fellegvára volt Magyarországon.
This was like the center of communism in Hungary.
Amikor ez a város épült, azt mondták,
when this city was built, they said,
a kommunisták,
the communists said,
itt nem lesz gyülekezet.
There will be no churches here.
Itt nem lesz Jézus.
Jesus will not come here.
De Jézus ma ott van.
But Jesus is there today.
És mi is ott vagyunk.
And we are there too.
És a kommunisták nincsenek ott.
And the communists are not there anymore. None of them.
Ez Isten hatalma.
This is the power of
ez
God.
Isten kegyelme.
This is the grace of God.
És nagyon szeretjük Pastor Schellert.
And we really love Pastor Scheller.
Nagyon szeretjük.
We really love him.
Vigyázzatok, mert egyszer ellopjuk tőletek.
Be careful, take him, because one day we will steal him, we will kidnap him.
Máté evangélium a 3. fejezet 17-es vers.
In Matthew 3 verse 17.
Miután Jézus bemerítkezett, azonnal feljött a vízből, ekkor hirtelen megnyílt a menny, és János látta, mint Isten szelleme galamb formájában leereszkedik, és Jézusra száll, a mennyből pedig hang hallatszott. Ő a fiam, akit nagyon szeretek, és akiben gyönyörködöm.
Starting in verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Azt mondja az írás.
The scripture says,
hogy egy hang hallatszott.
A voice was heard.
Ő a fiam.
He is my son.
Ő a fiam.
He is my son.
Nagyon szeretem.
I really love him.
Nem kicsit szeretem.
Not a little bit.
Nagyon szeretem.
I really love him.
És gyönyörködök benne.
And I delight in him.
És az Úr Jézus Krisztus.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amikor bemerítkezett.
When he was baptized.
És mielőtt elkezdte volna szolgálatát.
Before he started his ministry, his public ministry.
Ezt a szót hallotta.
He heard this voice. This word.
Az édesapa hangját.
The father of the dear father.
Te vagy a fiam.
The sound of the dear father.
Te vagy a fiam.
Pardon me. You are my son.
Szeretlek.
I love you.
És gyönyörködöm benned.
And I delight in you.
És miért volt az Úr Jézuson akkora kenet?
And why was there such great anointing on the Lord Jesus Christ?
Honnan jött az ő hatalma?
Where did his power come from?
Honnan jött az erő?
Where did that power come from?
Hogyan tudta bevégezni a küldetést?
How could he finish his mission?
Aminek a gyümölcsei mi is vagyunk.
The mission that produced us. We are the fruits of this mission.
Hallotta az igét.
Because he heard the voice.
A kegyelmesség szavát.
Words of grace.
És a kegyelem szavából jött a hatalom.
And his authority came from the words of grace.
A kenet.
The anointing.
Hogy tudja, hogy ő kicsoda.
He knew who he was.
Mert atya szólt, hogy te az én fiam vagy.
Because the father said, you are my son.
Szeretlek.
And I love you.
És gyönyörködöm benned.
And I'm well pleased with you.
S az Úrnak szüksége volt erre.
And the Lord needed this.
Hogy elkezdje és bevégezze a szolgálatát.
That he would start and finish his ministry.
Ezekből jött az ő identitása.
That's where his identity came from.
A hatalom.
That's where the authority came from.
Ebből nőtt ki a küldetés.
That's where the mission came from.
Nekünk is szükségünk van erre.
We also need this.
És minden alkalommal.
And every single time,
mikor az igét kinyitjuk,
when we open the scriptures,
amikor eljövünk egy ilyen gyülekezetbe,
when we come to a church like this,
itt nem csak emberi szavak hangzanak el,
we not only hear human words,
halljuk ugyanazt a szót,
but we hear the same
ugyanazt word, a szellemet,
the same spirit.
Te vagy az én szerelmes fiam.
You are my beloved son.
Te vagy az a fiam, akit nagyon szeretek.
You are my son, whom I really love.
És gyönyörködöm benned.
And I delight in you.
A mi küldetésünk is ebből fakad.
This is where our mission stems from.
Mi is ebből a kegyelemből élünk.
We live by this grace also.
És nem csodálatos?
And isn't it amazing?
Hogy az Atya ma is szól hozzád.
That even today the Father is speaking to you.
Hogyan leszek győztes?
How could you be victorious?
Hogyan küzdöm a kísértésekkel?
How can you fight temptations?
Hogyan megyek át próbákon?
How can you go through trials?
Mit fogok tenni, ha véletlenül elbukom?
What am I gonna do if I fail?
Csak hallom ezt a hangot.
I hear this voice.
Tudom, ki vagyok Krisztusban.
I know who I am in Christ.
Tudom, ki vagyok Krisztusban.
I know who I am in Christ.
Az én apám.
My father, my daddy.
Ahogy szólt Jézushoz.
As he spoke to Jesus.
Szól hozzánk is.
Likewise he speaks to us.
De nem csak az én szolgám vagy.
You're not only my servant.
Nem csak az én harcosom vagy.
You're not only my warrior.
De az én gyermekem vagy.
You are my child.
Nagyon, nagyon, nagyon szeretlek.
I really, really, really love you.
És gyönyörködöm benned.
And I am well pleased with you.
És amikor elbukom.
And when I fail.
Amikor elesem.
When I stumble.
Jön ez a hang újra.
That voice comes again.
Erre a hangra van szükségem.
That's the voice I need.
Az én fiam vagy.
You are my son.
Nagyon szeretlek.
I really love you.
És gyönyörködöm benned.
And I delight in you.
És amikor kudarcok vannak az életemben.
And when there are failures in our lives.
Amikor nem jönnek össze a dolgaim.
When things don't work out.
Megyek ehhez a könyvhöz.
I go to this book.
Megyek ehhez a szószékhez.
I go to this pulpit.
Hallani akarom a hangot.
I want to hear this voice.
Amelyik azt mondja.
That tells me.
Te vagy az én szeretett fiam.
You are my beloved
Csak nagyon szeretlek.
I really love you.
És gyönyörködöm benned.
And I delight in you.
És jön Isten hatalma.
And God's authority comes.
Mert Isten felkeni az ő szavát.
God anoints his word.
A kegyelemnek a szavát.
The words of grace.
A szeretetnek a szavát.
Words of love.
Már egy ideje keresztény voltam.
I had been a Christian for a while.
De nem akart az életem menni.
But my life wasn't working out.
Nem működtek a dolgok.
Things weren't working out.
És kaptam egy kazettát.
And I received a tape.
Ez Pastor Scheller üzenete volt.
It was a message from Pastor Scheller.
És miről szólt?
What was it about?
Hát hármat találgathattok.
You can have three guesses.
Isten feltétel nélküli szeretetéről.
It was about the unconditional love of God.
És azon a kazettán keresztül Isten szólt a szívemhez.
And through that tape, God spoke to my heart.
Nem számít.
It doesn't matter.
Én szeretlek.
I love you.
Én szeretlek.
I love you.
És ez megváltoztatott mindent.
And that changed everything.
Az igének a hallgatása.
Hearing the word.
Mindent megváltoztat.
Changes everything.
Hadd hangozzék fel ma is közöttünk Istennek a beszéde.
Let the words of God be spoken here.
Nem is tudjátok,
tonight.
Milyen áldottak vagytok.
You don't even know how blessed you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, that was so encouraging, wasn't it? That was awesome. That was awesome, wasn't it? Let's repeat it for a second, just to have that fresh. Pastor Duo Attila, he told us that we haven't left our first love. Isn't that a good word? Also, he can see the love here. and how we have treated the visitors and how much you know he sees the love here, and that was so encouraging and edifying. And then Pastor Jesus said, when Jesus was baptized and he heard the voice from heaven, you know, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. That is repeated today with us because Christ is born in us and God delights in us. He really does. He delights in us. And he also said, be careful because they might steal me and bring me back there. And I thought that was a great idea. No, I'm joking. No, I want to say, oh, okay, forget it. Okay. No, that was amazing, wasn't it? Okay. The next speaker is Pastor Kende, and he's the pastor in the Budapest Church. And I'll just tell one short story. When my family and I moved over to Hungary in 1990, he was a soldier, and he came to a meeting, and I saw it was a summer day. He was all sweaty, and I thought a shower would do him good, you know. Actually, I had that thought tonight, too, but anyway. So, but, you know, so I brought him home, and he showered. I brought him home, and he showered in our house. And I remember Justin, he was 9 years old, and he said, Dad, who is in our shower? You know, like, is this going to be happening on a regular basis? But I said to him, I said, you never know, Justin, who that guy's going to be. All right, so hallelujah. Thank God. God spoke to his heart and has used him. And we praise God for his ministry and his life. So the soldier that needed a shower turned out to be one of the pastors ordained a disciple and a follower of Christ. Hallelujah. So welcome him.
Thanks. We have dozens of stories. He always tells that one. And it's illogical because some of them are even more embarrassing than that. Boy, listening to those messages, I'm just happy it's not a contest here. That was awesome, wasn't it? Hee-hee! Yeah, it's just awesome. So honestly, I came here to listen to my pastor. So I'm a little bit disappointed. but I do trust him, so here I am sharing what God really evidently laid on my heart. It's just great to be with you, really. I also want to mention what they mentioned. Thank you for feeding us. I don't know that my wife will recognize me when I get home. Gained so much weight. So anyways, I have a question to you. You drive cars. How many of you ever hydroplaned? Okay. Wow, we live to tell the story, huh? Okay, good. Yeah, if you don't know what it is, I think it's, yeah, so here is the road, and here is your car's wheel, okay? I'm Pastor Scheller's disciple in drawing, that's why it's so good. Then there is a film of water on the road like this, okay? And then if you reach the right speed, then your wheel is not touching the road so much, but it runs up on there. And it's running on there. Okay, this sounds very much like physics, and I make this mistake a lot because when I say that word physics, everybody goes. So please don't do that. That's the end of the physics part. And let's just pray. Okay, so Lord, we thank you for this evening, and we're looking forward to what you still have to say. And we thank you so much for what we've heard about love, and about commitment, and about life, and about joy. Really, Lord, thank you for that time of worship, the choir. Lord, we thank you, every heart here. We're expecting from you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, speak to us, touch us. Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, draw them in Christ's name. Amen. So hydroplaning, okay. So So it's happened to us. How many of you have done it on purpose, just for fun? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think that's would take a very unique individual, and we would probably tell you to seek professional help. But so in 1 Kings 18, if you would turn there with me. Could you lend me up? Thank you so much. 1 Kings 18, we find this very unique individual who kind of did it on purpose. And this is Elijah. 1 Kings 18. We see here in verse 23 and 24, around verse 23, 24. Yes, so Elijah is facing off the prophets of Baal, and they are worshiping a false deity, and they are poisoning the land, they are poisoning the country, the minds of the people, the hearts of the people, and he's facing them off, and he is challenging them, and he's saying to them, look, let's see whose God is really God. And it's amazing the situation that he creates. It is very similar to that waterplaning idea. It is a hydroplaning, sorry, that's the word. I keep using that for some reason. But it's very similar because if you look here, verse 20, yeah, so 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves, that is the prophets of Baal, and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood. Put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Because supposedly Baal was overseeing, it was a deity overseeing fire, the power of fire also. So that seemed very logical that their God would have that power if he's real. So the situation is very interesting because it was a situation designed to leave them both out of control, right? Neither one of them, neither the prophets of Baal nor Elijah, really had control over this situation, that there was no fire, that everything was together, but there was no fire with that offering. And so there is no control in their hands. So he really just intentionally created a situation where he had no control. And he said, let's do it that way. And that's amazing. I mean, that's like hydroplaning on purpose, you know. That's like, why would you ever do that? Like, that is crazy. Like, that's not fun. That's suicide. Like, what are you doing? And then as we read the story on verse 26, this is the prophets of Baal. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. And there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and like they danced on it or something. And also a little later, let's see now, verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And then Elijah said, come near unto me, he said to the people. So this is a great show because what are they doing? What they are doing is this, that there is a situation which they cannot control. It is a situation evidently designed to be out of control, and they are trying to control it in some way on their own. And that is their effort. That's what we see here. They are taking this, they are dancing on the altar, they are shouting, oh Baal, oh Baal, you know, like louder and louder. And Elijah even mocks them and says, perhaps, I mean, he's a god, you know, maybe he's asleep, shout louder, you know, maybe he's gone to the bathroom, you know, shout louder. And, you know, like, something must be, you know, like maybe he's traveling somewhere, he's journeying, you know, who knows. Just shout louder. And they are doing that. Like they really take it seriously. They try to control the situation which cannot be controlled. They prophesy, they cut themselves. Like they try to control their deity to answer in this. And this is really us naturally. This is how we are naturally. We try to control what really cannot be controlled. We try to control what has not been designed to be controlled. We easily just go off in a tangent in that direction. We just like go the wrong way and try to control things that are not meant for us to be controlled. It doesn't work like that. Our life is kind of like those altars. Okay, just follow me here with this picture. So they had the stones, there was the wood on it, and then there was the flesh on it, the flesh of the animal on it, and all the elements there, but just one element missing, and that was fire. And that's kind of like our lives, really, in a great way. Our lives, we have so much of it together. It is like that verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that God has made all things beautiful in his time, and he also placed eternity into man's heart, but so that man cannot take hold of it. Man cannot find it, right? Like, we all know, all of us who have found Christ, we all know this experience that we felt that something greater, something more was necessary, like something more was needed in my life, and then I just couldn't take a hold of it. It was maddening because it felt like it's just there, but I cannot reach it. And that's really the experience of humanity. That's why they speak in these terms, you know, always like talking about, you know, like purpose. You know, talking about, you know, they don't believe in God, but they speak about purpose. They don't believe in God, but they want to, they have to speak about absolutes because we are made that way. It is right there. It's so close to us, but so far from us. Like this drawing, this amazing Michelangelo like drawing here that I made. You know, like this here distance between the wheel and the road. It is a very, very small distance. Could be just a few millimeters, but that doesn't mean anything to you. Okay, very little, okay? Very, very, very little distance, okay? And, you know, like just a very little distance between the two. But the wheel doesn't connect with the road. And that's it. There is no control. It is so close and yet so far. And that's really like our lives. Our lives, you know, are so great. There is so much that we can control. There is so much that we have in our power, right? There is so much that we can do and accomplish and run with. And you know, we are so capable and we know how to hold it together. And that's great. But then something is missing. The fire is missing. Like, let's say, you know, like I have everything I wanted in life. The house, the wife, the kids, the cars, the job, the promotion, I don't know what. But then the fire of joy is missing from my life. Or you know, the fire of motivation is missing from my life. I just don't feel like I should do anything. How many people struggle with depression? It's just missing from their lives. There's just no motivation whatsoever. That fire is missing. Or the fire of love. It is just missing from my life. I just cannot take hold of it. And then you know what I do? I do what these prophets of Baal do. I go automatically to the wrong solution. I start shouting louder and louder. Okay, when this happens, when this hydroplaning happens, what do I do automatically? It's very interesting. I try to make the wheels get a grip, right? And I do one of two stupid things. I hit the brakes. Or I start doing this. And then if it gets a grip, you know, I could be dead. Because I go to the automatic solution, which is automatic. It just feels so logic. I mean, if you know the physics, I mean, probably I'm just this far from the road. Let's just make it get down there or hit the brakes and let's make it down there. But it is the wrong solution. It could be deadly. And that's the thing. You feel you're so close to control. And I could just control it. How many times have we done this? Like we told ourselves, if I just, you know, I just pull myself together, I'm just gonna concentrate more. I'm gonna do it harder. I'm gonna take it more seriously. I'm gonna battle sin seriously now. I'm gonna make it happen, you know, like I'm gonna just be really filled with the Spirit this time. Not like before, but I was just not really filled, just filled, I don't know, some other way. you know, and but now I'm going to be really filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to really make it happen, and now it's going to work. You know what I'm saying? Joe? Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, good. You looked like I was not sure if I was communicating. But that's what happens with me. Like, I think it's so close to me. And if I'm just going to, like, clench my teeth and I'm going to make it happen, you know, I can make it happen. It is so close to me. That distance is so little. You know, this here is nothing. You know, I can make it happen. What are you talking about? Just give me another day. Give me another try. I'm so happy for grace, because that means I can try another day on my own strength. Grace is awesome. I can just try again and more and more and more. Man, why doesn't it work? Anyways, I'll just try again on my own strength. Then I say, grace doesn't work. Oh, what a great conclusion. You know, it's totally off. It's wrong. Grace does work. There's no problem with grace. There's all that's wrong is really wrong with me. I'm just not using it the right way. So I hit the brakes and I die. You know, and that's a terrible outcome. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm dead. What are you talking? You're so sensitive. But our lives, you know, like, this is the point I'm trying to make. Our lives, there is no control. There's so much we don't have control over, right? Like, I need faith. I need faith. I don't have control. There's so much. I need faith. I remember the time when one time, I never had a problem with jealousy in my marriage, but I remember that one time when it came knocking on the door. And, you know, like, my wife, I decided to stay home with our little boy, and just told her, go out window shopping. We didn't have money for real shopping, so she went out window shopping, which was a great thing for her already. And so she went out window shopping, and at the agreed time, she didn't come. And an hour later and 2 hours later, I'm kind of, no cell phones at that time. So a few hours later, I'm kind of worried what's happening with her. 3-4 hours later, I'm thinking, where is she? You know, and that one time in my life, I remember, you know, it came to me. And on that day, I said, Heather, there's no way. I cannot control my wife. Either she loves me, and she's with me, and she's committed to me, or I'll be the greatest fool. That's fine. But I'm loving her. I'm not going to believe evil about her. I'm loving this woman, and that's just that. And if she's going to leave me for someone, that's fine. I'm not going to live in the world of jealousy, because that would poison our marriage. How could I live there? What kind of love is there that would end the relationship immediately? All right? And I just had to realize I don't have any control over that situation. And, you know, so I was so happy, just let it go. Now, like, you know, like, what, 16 years later, you know, we're happy and it's okay, it's great. But I want to encourage you about this. You need faith. There is so much in your life you cannot control, right? There's so much in our lives. It can feel like, oh, it's just, if I could just, like, a little more, you know, I could just, then it would happen. But no, that's not how it works. I need faith. I need to come to Jesus, right? Like Hebrews 4, where do I find rest? Oh, I will find rest. No, Matthew 11, 29. I will find rest with Jesus. That's where I find rest. It's with Him. I need faith, and I need to come to Him. I am not going to create my own, you know, faith rest. They talk about faith rest. Oh, man, I love that term. I'm going to work hard to get into faith rest. Oh, great idea. Keep on working on that. No, don't. But we need to come to Jesus. You know, really, there is a rest for us in Hebrews 4. And I come to Him by faith, and that's where I find it. You know, I like peace. How does peace happen? It is right there. Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8. You know, prayer. I need prayer. And I need to come to the Lord in prayer. And then I find peace, right? Amen. I don't control myself in that area. I need to come to Him. That's where I find it. It is not in shouting. It is not in self-torture, you know, like those guys did. They were torturing themselves. It is not in dancing, you know, and emotion, you know, not that whole thing. But it is in coming to Him. And here is the encouraging part. In James 5:17, it says that Elijah was like you and like me. And he prayed and there was no rain for seven. It's amazing, that whole story. And it says that you are just like him and you need to live the same. I need to live the same way. We need to live the same way. It is when we come in humility and hunger in Hebrews 4:16. We come to the throne of grace. We come there and then we find help. I know the place where I can get the fire. I know the place where I can meet God. I know the place where the Holy Spirit fills me. And I learned that. And I love that the Bible school students. That's one place where I learn about that. This here, the church, is another place where I learned that. I learned the place where I have to go if I want to be filled, if I want to be giving up my life at the cross and living with Christ. And that's awesome. And that's what I need. I don't need greater, you know, control and strength and my own ability and my own, you know, willingness and greater determination. That's not going to solve it. I mean, at least I haven't found it to solve anything. But I found this, that I know the place where I can come, that the automatic reaction, it is not my answer. And do you know it? Do you know that place? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, if you're here today, you don't know the Lord, this is let this be your night. Come to know Him. I know it feels like it's so close. If you can just do a little better, you're going to cut it. Will never happen. I'm sorry to say. Will never happen. It's very important for you to come to Jesus. And that's the gospel. Just to receive Him as your Savior. Just to accept that distance here, you know, that tiny distance here, it cannot be bridged by anyone else than by Jesus. You know, that's our message, really. That He is going to bridge that. And you can come to Him and come to Him and know Him. But if you know Him, if we who are believers, remember, it is still not in your control. It is not in your hand. You know, the fire is something that God does. So many pieces of our lives are together, but we will never balance it. However long we live, there is no wisdom, strength on my part that's gonna make it. And I just wanna encourage you with this. Ecclesiastes 8:17, it says, you know, I beheld all the work of God and a man cannot find it out, right? We find this always. There is like an element in our lives. God has left something there, sort of that, you know, like that little film of water. And it feels I'm so close, but I cannot cut it. And He left it there for a purpose so that we would come to Him. And you know, can you find out God? Can you realize, can you understand Him? Job 11:7, no, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen in ourselves. But I need His power. I need His fire. I need His life. John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. And that's the answer. That's where we have it daily. That's where we have it daily. Paul was saying this in Romans 11:33, like all the riches, you know, the depth, you know, the wisdom, you understand, you know, how could we understand God? But we can come to Him and we can find that fire. So our natural reaction, it is deadly. It cuts us off. It just gives us the wrong thing. It's not the answer that we're looking for, but we need to draw closer. When that happens, when I'm really feeling out of control, I need to draw closer. Yeah, to my Bible. Yeah, to my church. Yeah, to my brothers and sisters. Yeah, in prayer to be renewed. And there, I find an answer. It's amazing. The life we live, right? It's amazing. Like someone looks at us, and they would think, man, you're in control. And we go, no, I just learned that I don't have it. And I found the place where there is an answer for it. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Lord, You're awesome in our lives. Lord, You alone supply that fire. And we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I would like to invite you. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to do physically anything. But in your heart, to make a decision to believe on him. Just say to him in your heart. Just address Jesus straight in the quietness of your heart. Say to him, my God, Jesus, please come into my life. Save me. I know I don't have that control. I want to know you. Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. Come into my life. Give me a new start, a new life. Jesus, save me. And give me a new start. If you said that for the first time, then as the church is praying with heads bowed, please just raise your hand for a moment so the ushers could give you a packet that will help you start in this new way with Jesus. If you made that decision, please just raise your hand so they can find you and that you can put it down. Is there anyone tonight? Thank you. Amen.